So here we are, gentlemen, the final daf of Bav Metzia coming around the bend and ready to continue into the great Nezikin. Unfortunately, I will have to now switch you back in time. Hold on, please, for the time traveler stuff.
We're away from the roofs at this point, and we're back in the agricultural department. What happens over there is very artistic. What happens here is you have one garden that is a raised garden, then you have a vertical wall, and you have another garden next to it. But we've discussed this issue before also. And now you've got all of these nice wild, but it's a sharp terrace. You've got these wild vegetables, you know, onions, garlics, and so on, and growing out of the side. And sticking out from the earth into the airspace of the guy underneath, who also has a garden. Now, who owns those vegetables, is our question. Rabbi Meir Omer Shel Elyon. Rabbi Meir says it belongs to the guy on top. You're talking about an awful lot of garlic. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shel Tachton. Rabbi Yehuda says it belongs to the guy who owns the garden underneath. Says Rabbi Meir, well, how could it belong to the guy underneath? If the guy on top wanted to remove his dirt, you wouldn't have any vegetables now, would you? So therefore, we should view it as belonging to the guy whose garden it's growing from. This is my garden. So in your cell, Yom Kippur, in Kanyarek, says Rabbi Yehuda, well, that's all very nice, but what if the bottom guy decides to build up his garden until it's also nice and high, like the other guy's garden, and he gets a couple of dumpsters to come in there, and there goes all of the veggies that were growing in between. So it's his airspace that allows these vegetables to survive. So why can't it be his? In yourself, Akron of Alot et Dinato, in Tan Yerek, bye Yerek, when the first dumpster comes in. Omer Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Meir, okay, I was waiting for you to say that. So now my point, therefore, is, since either one essentially could prevent the vegetable from growing, we're now agreed that for all intents and purposes, they're equal. So what shall be the determining factor, dear Rabbi Yehuda? I'll tell you what the determining factor should be. Where is the yerek being nourished? Who is essentially growing the yerek? Well, obviously, the yerek is growing out of this man's earth. Therefore, he owns it. The top guy. So, Rabbi Shimon has a different solution. He says, Kol shehayel yon yachol ifshot et yedo v'litol harei u'shalom. If the guy on top can reach the yerek from where he is, then that, in fact, belongs to him. Because essentially, I agree with Rabbi Meir, that it belongs to the man from whose dirt it's growing. However, Hashar shel tekton, even though I agree with Rabbi Meir, this guy on top is not going to be able to harvest his vegetables, now is he? He's going to need the person below him to agree to have him come in with a ladder and so on. But this guy is standing there with a machine gun. I dare you. Just try to get those veggies. Right? So now, essentially, the guy on top is mafkir, the area that he knows that only the bottom guy can get to. And so because of that, even if the older mayor is technically correct, I hold that the person, he's not embarrassed. He's going to come down to the guy and beg him to go to the resource. Like, I'm going to assert my technical rights to my yerek by asking your permission. So there, he certainly allows the guy underneath to take whatever he can't reach. If we're talking about roots, the roots for sure belong to the guy on top because they are both growing out of his ground and they're actually in his ground. No question. He's got potatoes. I mean, he goes and takes the potatoes. Certainly, why would the guy underneath have the right to the potatoes? The question over here is the twig is in no foe. What we're talking about is the leaves, which that part is growing in the other person's airspace. So Rabbi Meir Sava Shidina Fo Batar Ikaro. What you should do is look, the leaves always follow the central growth, which is the root system and the ikar. Rabbi Yehuda Sava Vahamina Shidina Fo Batar Ikaro. Rabbi Yehuda says that no phobias, since they are in my area, they are mine. They have a separate a separate existence, and that's what we look at. The Tanya, now the Tamayu that it says in the Tanya is not technically correct, because the case that we're going to bring is only a vague comparison. We had something in the court yesterday. See, Tosis, because his Girsa up on top is the Tanya Nadi Gadi Mekas and Memkas Hagam. We have a similar issue when we're dealing with buying and selling. And it's a similar issue between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, which is why we bring it up over here. What is the similar issue? The Tanya. Hayotse min hageza min hashoreshim hare elu shel ba'al hakarka divrei Rabbi Meir. When somebody buys a tree in another person's rishon, now the din is if you buy a single tree, you have no rights to the ground at all. You only have the right to the production of the tree. And therefore, our question is like this. Suppose the tree shoots off a sapling from its roots, right? And now this thing is growing out of the same root system. It's going next to the other tree. So now our question is, certainly any branches or any fruit that grow from this tree, that's what I bought, and I have a right to that. But here we have essentially a sapling that's coming out of either the shoreshim or the geza out of the trunk of this tree, which is not shot out, and that's grown as a tree on its own, basically. Not a branch of this tree. So Rabbi Meir says, well, it belongs to the guy who owns the karka. It's growing out of his karka, and that's all that was included in the sale was the actual tree itself. And Rabbi Yehuda says, well, no, you see, it depends. If it was coming out of the geza, coming out of the trunk, then it belongs to the guy who owns the tree, because we don't look at the fact that it's being nourished by the other guy's ground and so on. We see it as part of the tree. If it's coming from underground, directly out of the shoreshim, there I agree that min ha-shoreshim, it belongs to the balakarka. And it's certainly not precisely the same as the case that we had before, because, I mean, here it's standing. Not only is it standing in the airspace of the balakarka, it's also being yonek from the balakarka. So, I mean, it's not really the same case. But nonetheless, we see in general the sense of whether Rabbi Yehuda views new growth and so on as being a separate entity or the same entity. That's why we're comparing it. And it's interesting that we have the same question that would concern us in terms of orla. At what point is a tree considered to be a new tree? It's at the altar for 3 years, or at what point is it part of the old tree and it's mutter immediately if the old tree was already past its age? So that's not nani gabe orla ki hagavna. We have a similar thing, actually it's not a mission, so it should say the tanya nani gabe orla. And there it says, ilana yotzimina geza mina shorashim, if a new tree comes out from the root system or from the trunk of an existing tree, it's a new tree, and it's chayav varla divrei Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, min hageza, it's patur. If it comes out from the trunk, it's viewed as an extension of the old tree. Min hashoreshim, it's chayav. The tree, and we need both of these machlokas, and both the gabi orla and the gabi spine and selling, because the yashmina gabaisa. I would have said like this, okay, suppose I would only know about buying and selling. I would have said, well, how come Rabbi Yehuda, mishubdim amona? Rabbi Yehuda is willing to say that, look, let's stick to the letter of the law. The letter of the law is that I am right, that this is really, technically speaking, part of the original tree. But maybe when it comes to Orla, you're talking about an instant, the Arisa, people are going to get confused. What's the trunk? Maybe we should be machmer, we should say, like Rabbi Meir says, that it's Osir because it's viewed as a new tree. So Abba Gabi Orla di Sura, maybe it would be more than be machmer like Rabbi Meir. On the other hand, if it said only the case of Orla, Itmar Baha, I would have said, you know what, maybe Rabbi Meir is only being machmer because we're talking about Orla. Such a chosher de Easter. So Baha'u'llah, Rabbi Meir. But maybe when it comes just to the questions in the Imamunit, he would say, okay, stick to the letter of the law, and therefore, maybe therefore he would be most to Rabbi Yehuda. And the Mela, we do indeed need both of these machlokes. Now the last few lines, we, Be'ezrat Hashem, are going to leave until Eretz doesn't do our Siyum for Bechorot, for Tamid Bechorot on that day. And tomorrow, there's a gentleman that is going to be making a personal, I think it's a yahrzeit Siyum, on Bab Metziah. But we shall begin Bezrat Hashem Baba Bata, which means that we're starting a new Mesefta. I'm sure you want to make sure that you don't miss the beginning of the Mesefta. Start off on the right foot. And anybody that you know has been waiting to start a new Mesefta should be informed that we're not going to wait until Friday. We're going to do it tomorrow. And in the mail, we should get a good attendance. So we'll let everybody know. Where is he? We're waiting.
Hey, Lot.
Tell him to come. He's going to miss bagel and lox tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
When we start tomorrow. Plus, he doesn't want to miss bagel and lox.
We reminded rent for this building somehow.
I have a question.
And there's no creeping.
He says, your big opportunity, gentlemen and ladies, your big opportunity to give Ma'ot Fitim to the Shlomo Kaplan's fund, your big opportunity to provide for some of the rental, and now, by the way, the building has a bathroom downstairs.
Oh.
So now we can have, up until now, we say you make us go to Ramban for the bathroom, maybe on the rent, but now we're in big trouble. We already have.
All these years, those who got in here,
yeah,
because the shield was brought here, now they're giving it out.
But.